This is Valley of Genius, episode 17, Mark Pincus.
Sean took me over and he got on the computer in my office and he pulled up the Facebook and he started showing it to me, and I'd never been able to be on it because it's college kids only. And it was amazing. I mean, people are putting up their I don't know if they had cell phone numbers or landlines, but they're putting up their phone numbers and home addresses and everything about themselves. And I was like, I can't believe it, but it's because they had all this trust.
Hi, welcome to Valley of Genius. I'm Leo Laporte, sitting next to Adam Fisher, the author of a book called Valley of Genius, The Uncensored History of Silicon Valley. You can get it right now at Amazon or Audible. But what's great, and what I found out when I met Adam, is that he's got all of these amazing interviews with some of the incredible people who made Silicon Valley what it is today. This story is an amazing one. I know the name Mark Pincus is the founder of Zynga, so I remember Zynga. What I didn't know is Mark's early history. In fact, he was the guy, and this was all the rage in the mid-90s. I remember it took our network at the site on MSNBC back in the mid-90s. It took our network down because everybody installed a thing called Pointcast, which the minute you turned on your computer in the morning would go out and download all the news and put it on your computer. So that meant the network in our offices was unusable from 9 a.m. to about 9:30 while everybody's computer was downloading the latest news. That was something called Pointcast. And the other thing I didn't realize is that Mark's roots with Facebook go back to that era. And, well, a young man he met as an intern.
In 1995, I started Freeloader in D.C. with Sunil Paul, who was the internet product manager at AOL. And he was the only internet employee at AOL. And we were the only internet company in D.C. And Freeloader, for like a minute, was like the first viral phenomena on the internet. I'll take credit for it. But it was in, I think we launched it in like March or April of 96. And for 2 months, it was kind of taking off and we had a couple million downloads. And here's why that matters to this story. So Sean Parker, I'm pretty sure he came and worked for us in the summer of 96. And he was 14, he was living in Boston, and Sean had still has an amazing nose for what's going to be the next viral thing. And so he came to us because we were like, he was interested in this consumer viral thing. And we were push technology, and for like 5 minutes, push technology was a big thing, Pointcast. And so he came and worked for us for the summer, and he was 14. He was like a Unix programmer, or said he was. And I'm not even sure if we were allowed to pay him because he was like under, you know, working age. But so that's how I got to know Sean.
So this is the summer of 96. Sean Parker's 14. They sell the company in 98. Sean's like 18.
And Sean, who does Sean find but Sean Fanning? And he appoints himself to be kind of the business guy of this thing called Napster. And how does he get money for Napster? He emails Pincus, his old boss.
Sometime subsequent to that, I don't remember if it was 97 or 98. So Freeloader got acquired during the 5 minutes that push technology was a big deal. And we got acquired just as we were moving to San Francisco. We felt like San Francisco was the motor city of the internet, and if you're going to be on internet, you had to be here. And so we were in the process of moving. We got acquired. So then we moved out here, and then Sean emailed me. I don't remember if it was in 97 or 98. He emailed me the business plan for Napster, and he said he was working with this other Sean, Fanning, and he just said, you know, that they had this music download service and that it was exploding, and every time they added more servers, it would grow, and then it would tap out, and they needed more money so they could buy more servers. And that usually is a good sign that you want to invest. It's like everyone's eating the dog food, they just need more of it. So I'm pretty sure I gave them $100,000, and it was one of the first checks that they got. And so that was how I got connected to Sean and to Napster.
So Napster fails.
Yeah.
And presumably Pincus
loses. These guys really have an ability to find the next viral thing, don't they?
Pincus, I guess, loses his $100,000, but it's 2004. And Pincus is trying to get his own social network going. He's in San Francisco now. He has something called Tribe, which is kind of a social network for burners, basically.
Burning Man attendees.
And then he gets another email. It's Parker again, and he wants him to meet this guy who's created a social network for colleges called the Facebook.com.
It's probably like September, October of 2004, and I'm at Tribe's offices in this like dusty converted brick building in Petrillo Hill, and we're in our conference room, and Sean says he's bringing the Facebook guy in, which I'd already kind of read about, knew a little bit about, and I think he was like a freshman at Harvard or something, or sophomore, and he brings Zuck in, and I think Zuck's in like a pair of gym shorts or like sweatpants and these like Hawaiian flip-flops that he wore. He's so young looking. I mean, I'm sure he looked young even for his age. It's just kind of amazing. And he's sitting there kind of with his feet up on the table, and Sean's talking really fast about all the things Facebook is going to do and grow and everything else. And I was like mesmerized, because here's this kid who's gone, and I'm doing Tribe, and we are not succeeding. And so we grew really well, but we only captured one audience, and we didn't capture mainstream, and we kind of plateaued, and we're hitting our head against the wall trying to figure out how to grow. And here's this kid who's a simple idea that's doing way less than we had built, and he's just taking off college by college and having numbers that, like, we all worship metrics. And I mean, their metrics were like, even then, I think their metrics haven't ever changed since then. I think it was something like 60% of people who ever signed up came back every day. And we were like, 60% of every people who ever signed up might come back once. I mean, like every single day. And it was just, so I was kind of in awe already of what they had accomplished, and maybe a little annoyed by it.
So it sounds like Mark Pincus was one of the first people to see the Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. But we always, at least in the movie, think about Peter Thiel as Facebook's earliest investor.
Yeah, Peter Thiel put in $500,000, but just... Peter Thiel put in $500,000, but it turns out that Pincus...
he also put money in.
Yeah, he put in $38,000, and Reid Hoffman got to put in $38,000. Because remember, Mark...
Reid Hoffman's the founder of LinkedIn.
Yes, Reid Hoffman's the founder of LinkedIn.
But this must have been before LinkedIn.
I guess so, but there was something called 6 Degrees of Separation in New York that failed. So Pincus and Reid went in together as partners to buy the patent that underlied that company, 6 Degrees of Separation, and that is the fundamental patent for social media.
I was already, in awe. And then Sean put together an investment round quickly, and he had advised Zuck to, I think, take $500,000 from Peter Thiel and then $38,000 each from me and Reid Hoffman. And we were basically the only other people doing anything in social networking. But a lot of times people think, will brag that they're amazing investors and like, I spotted the Facebook early. And my point is that when we had the opportunity to invest in Facebook, we knew that it was an amazing, not anywhere near what it's become, but it was just like when I had the opportunity to invest in Napster. When something is already taking off and growing like that, you're lucky to invest. you know, you're not smart to invest.
Mark Pincus, lucky, not smart.
He's plenty smart.
I think he's got.
He is one of the smartest guys I've had the opportunity to talk to.
Humble as well. Wow, what a great story. Adam Fisher is the author of Valley of Genius. There's more in the book, and there's more to come with the podcast. Next week, another Facebook alum whose name you may not know, but he ties a lot of these threads together. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Valley of Genius.
It makes sense to me that the majority of these consumer internet and social media companies would be from kind of Northern California and kind of at least in the orbit of San Francisco. Because even if you go back to the early 90s, San Francisco was always this melting pot that of super creative, arts-focused, creative thinking with technology.